Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Thank you, Joshua. I'm Dave Cohen with one more story as we get back to Tommy Tucker here on WWL.
All right. Let's hear it.
Popeye's Louisiana Kitchen is giving a Canadian woman $10,000 worth of food.
Why?
She became the laughingstock of Canada when she was on the Canadian version of Family Feud. It was a playoff question with the winning contestant taking their family to the round to win 10 grand. The one question. There's only one answer on the board.
Mm-hmm.
What is Popeye's favorite food? She buzzed in and immediately hollered, chicken!
No, really?
Yeah.
Wait, and for people that don't understand, they're talking about Popeye the Sailor Man, Toot, whose favorite food was?
Spinach. But she at least gets 10 grand worth of food, even though her family didn't get to play for 10 grand on the game show.
Guess what I had for lunch yesterday?
Guessing the same thing I had for lunch yesterday.
Popeye's chicken sandwich.
Yes. Did you go for the classic or the spicy?
Oh, I never get spicy. I always get classic.
I went for the classic yesterday, too.
And
I've always had spicy before, and I enjoyed it, but you suggested that I try the classic. I did, and I liked it.
Every time I pass the flippin' Popeye's in Belchase, I slow down safely to see if there's a line, and if there's no line, I stop and I get a chicken sandwich.
Every time.
It's addictive. It's the brioche bun. It's the pickles. What?
How often does that happen that there's no line?
Not often. I'm not a big line waiter. You know, you mentioned the Scarlett Johansson nomination in both categories, right?
Yeah, she is nominated for both Best Supporting Actress and Best Actress in a Leading Role.
If you look at the movies this woman has made, my goodness gracious, it's amazing.
Yeah, I haven't seen Marriage Story or Jojo Rabbit, but apparently she's really good in both of them.
There was one quite some time ago, and it was one of these movies that they show over and over on cable, A Love Song for Bobby Long. Have you ever seen that?
No, I haven't seen that one either.
It's her and John Travolta, and it's filmed in Algiers. And it's not a bad movie. The only thing is, man, she's a heavy smoker. A lot of smoking.
In the movie.
Well, in that and in Lost in Translation and so forth, so I don't know.
She doesn't smoke in Avengers. I know that. I've seen that.
Well, no, I don't think that would.
She's kind of smoking.
Yes. In a different way, very much. All right, on that note, we'll move on. Thank you. Talk to our friend Pearson Cross, Associate Dean of the College of Liberal Arts and an Associate Professor of Political Science at ULL in Lafayette. Good morning, Pearson.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well. I would imagine this inauguration would be a much bigger deal were it not getting lost in the LSU game tonight.
Let's face it, voters know what's important, and that's whether or not LSU wins the national championship.
So the governor's going to be sworn in. There's going to be a flyover. I guess the entire legislature's sworn in as well.
Yes, I believe everyone's going to be sworn in. They're going to get their official member badges, lapel pins to wear today, and they really treasure those. You see them, you know, they always wear those. So
right. That'll
be a big deal. And there are a bunch of new people in both houses,
well,
right?
Let's talk about that.
I think we got 20 in the Senate, 20 new faces in the Senate, and 45 new faces in the House. As you know, this is the second revenge of term limits, you know, which initially started out in 2007, now 2019. So this is the result of term limits. We get a lot of new faces.
But you can still ping pong back and forth, can you not?
You are, you know, the Noble Ellington move, if you want to call it that, which is to, you know, if you time out in one chamber, move to the other chamber, you time out there, go back to the original chamber.
One of whom did that, but he was a respected member of the legislature, and John Alario. Yeah, he had Alario.
Yeah.
He had been there a long, long
time. I've heard that name before.
Yeah, but it's, I think for people that don't understand and look at it negatively as a lifetime politician, a lot of times you got to know the rules and the laws, and you can't just go up there freewheeling it.
No, that's absolutely right. Ilaria was crucial for getting anything done in the last 4 years. And actually, the House and Senate are both losing. I mean, they're losing the clerks on both sides, you know, longtime clerk Butch Spear in the House. And then on the Senate side, Glenn Kep, he's moving on, too. We're going to have new faces there. Then we're going to have all new leadership. I expect a lot of, you know, head-ons in the early days of the legislature while they try to figure out how to keep this thing going.
You know, you never see a clerk on television. Rarely would you do that, or being interviewed on the radio, so forth. Explain to people what the clerks do and how important they are to the process.
The clerks, if you go in and you watch a legislative session, which I encourage everyone to do, the clerk sits right up there. He's right behind the person who's got the floor at the moment. And he's making sure that the bills are coming in orderly, that the speakers are following the rules. He's right there to take care of our rules. He keeps track of everything. He keeps the legislative process flowing. He or she is incredibly important to the high functioning. And then in the off season, they're doing all the things that make it happen for members. So they really are a member service thing. They're dedicated. They're not political. They're dedicated to the smooth functioning of the institution.
Are they appointed?
Actually, they're elected. They're elected by the House typically. So each House and each Senate elects them, and they have wide choice over who they want. I know it's considered to be kind of a plum position. It's a good position. It's for someone who's not overly partisan, because, you know, you can't be, you know, hanging on the outcome of a particular bills or votes if you're the clerk.
It would seem as though you'd almost have to take a test, because rather than political, you got to be proficient at this. You got to know what the hell you're doing.
Well, you know, like most things in politics, there are no tests. You know, the test is, can you get elected? In this case, the constituency is the members of the House and members of the Senate. So if they think you're okay, you're okay.
How complicated is it? Tell you what, let me take a break. And when we come back, because I think, Pearson, pretty well I can ask this question. There's going to be a lot of gridlock, right? The Republican legislature, both Senate and House, go full their arms. The governor's going to propose some things, and not a lot's going to get done.
Totally. Yeah. Right. Big time. We can talk about that.
All right,
yeah.
We'll be back. Pearson Cross, our guest. In addition to LSU playing for the national championship, as Pearson said, we in Louisiana know it's important. The governor gets inaugurated, and we swear in a new government for Louisiana, some of which is new, some of which is not. Back in a flash, WWL. 9:21 now. It is going to be a big football day in the area. Matter of fact, the eyes of the nation, if not the world, will be on the Mercedes-Benz Superdome in New Orleans. Right or wrong, football is important or not, but it will happen. And our LSU championship coverage begins today. Bobby Hebert, Deuce McAllister, Zach Strief, all three of them will be there for game day kickoff. And game day being Rouse's Market on Barone in the CBD from 10 until 1. Not only there, they will be on the air from 10 until 1. So you can get out there, hang out, talk purple and gold football and NFL playoffs, and get everything you need for your tailgate party before the big game. Countdown LSU Clemson with the Cajun Cannon Deuce and the voice of the Saints, Zach Strief, today. Oh, and about 50. Anyway, it's at 10 o'clock. I won't do the math. At Rouse's Market, 701 Barone in the CBD, right here on Tiger Radio, WWL. Pearson Cross is our guest, Associate Dean of the College of Liberal Arts and Associate Professor of Political Science at ULL. And Pearson, like you said, everybody's all concerned about football today. But come, I don't know what, April, May, and June, we're really going to get concerned with what goes on in Baton Rouge. In terms of procedure, well, let me get back to the Republicans, and then we'll give a little primer on why it's so complicated to get anything done in Louisiana politically. Is there anything other than gridlock in the forecast?
Well, it really depends. I mean, I think it's up to the legislature. Clearly, the Republicans have a very strong majority in the Senate. They have a nearly two-thirds majority in the House. Are they willing to work with the big problem they have, of course, is the governor's a Democrat. So are they willing to work and pass things that will pass muster with the guy who could wield the veto pen? You know, they don't have huge margins. That two-thirds margin, that would have to hold to override a veto, which would be very hard in terms of legislative politics. So the governor's going to have a say in whatever gets passed, generally speaking. You're very rarely going to see an override hold together. So the question is, are they willing to compromise? And I think that's the single biggest question. They're more conservative. We know that. They're more Republicans. Are they going to compromise with this governor? I just don't know.
What are some of the more contentious issues that we're likely to that are likely to rear their ugly heads, if you will, as we get into the session?
Well, the two big issues, I think one is going to be, tax reform. We have a crazy tax system in the state, but we also, have had surpluses. So the question is whether or not we're collecting too much money, whether or not sales tax needs to be ratcheted down. The other thing, is there any change to the tort structure that's at the top of most Republicans' wish list that the governor would sign off on? And I don't know the answer to that question, but my guess is not much. But there may be something. There may be window dressing in there. Other than that, I think redistricting is going to be a big issue coming along, not necessarily this term, but the next session. That's all you're going to hear about. So there's some big things coming up.
Speaker of the House, President of the Senate, I guess. Who have they been elected yet or not? And how important are they?
Well, super important. And, right now there's this big Sherman Mack is out in front. Lane Grigsby is spending a lot of money to try to make sure that he gets it. He's still got some opposition. It takes 53 votes for the Republicans, which they have. They have 68 in the House. It takes 53 votes for them to make sure that their person is the speaker. My guess is they're going to resolve that before they actually take the vote, because if they don't, then the winning candidate's going to have to rely on a Democrat votes. And if they rely on Democratic votes to be elected speaker, that means you're probably going to have to give some chairmanships of committees to the Democrats. So right now, the Republicans can determine their own fate. Do they want it to be a partisan majority where they can solely name the speaker and they can have all the committee chairs be Republicans, or do they want to share power with the Democrats? Kind of up to them.
President of the Senate, we're looking at who?
President of the Senate is Paige Cortez, I believe.
Okay. So how important is either when it comes to the business of each house and chamber, whether or not it even gets heard or not?
Neither the speaker nor the president has total power to completely kill something, but they can definitely make it harder for something to be heard. They can be overridden by the chamber. They can send it to a committee where they want to kill it or where they have allies. So, the president and the speaker both exercise a lot of control over what gets going. On the other hand, it's less than you would expect from, say, looking at Congress, where there's more power and more absolute power in both of those. So, but I think it's important. The thing is, if you were president of the Senate or Speaker of the House, you're not looking to burn bridges, because you need to put together majorities to get things passed. So you're not out to make enemies.
The governor, I could make a case either way that he has no other election, so his power could be decreased, or that he's got no election, so his power would be increased. Where does the fact that you got a reelected governor come up in terms of agenda, et cetera?
Well, there are two things. One, he is reelected, and typically governor's powers are the biggest right at the beginning, so he's riding a wave of popular support right now, but that's going to diminish quickly, so by the end of year two, we're really looking at a lame duck governor. So he's going to be hanging on and probably doing his best just to block legislation at the end of the last 2 years in office. He's got some good power for the next couple of years, but this is not a good environment for John Bel Edwards. He's going to be fighting a lot of, trench warfare to try to keep the wheels on government, as people, particularly in the House, are going to be, trying to pass bills that he doesn't like very much.
Pearson, I'm sorry if I missed this, but is it a fiscal session or not?
Well, we are currently in an even year, so it would be a non-fiscal session. Fiscal sessions are typically in odd years, everything else in the even years.
So in terms of budget, Revenue Estimating Commission, are we going to face the same old edge of the cliff thing as we do every year?
Well, we are probably going to have another struggle, it looks like, with the Revenue Estimating Committee. The last meeting they had, they decided not to not to verify the extra revenue that people said was around. Part of this has to do with the mano a mano between the state treasurer. But, yeah, we're going to spar again. It's going to be a budget. We're going to talk about how much revenue is coming in. So that's going to be one of the big things. The governor is going to be looking to recognize that revenue and spend it on social programs, particularly early childhood education, which, as he said, is a big priority of his. The Republican legislature is going to be looking to dispel that and give money back to the people. At least that's the way they're going to frame it.
Unless you are term limited for real, and what I mean by that is you have no intention of running for re-election, or as in the governor, you can't. How much does the next election and whatever vote you make on a very complicated bill have to do with the decisions they made? And you know what I'm saying, where the bill will have so many riders on it for the negative campaign in the next election cycle, they could say that Pearson Cross voted against women when, in fact, that's not what you understand what I'm saying.
I do. Early on, they're not going to think about that much. As we get closer to the election, that kind of consideration really comes up in an election year. Now, representatives are adverse to risk like that, so they're thinking about that all the time. But clearly, if you're not running for office again, you have a lot of room to do the thing that you really believe in. But the other thing is, as it gets closer to the election, people start to pay attention to those issues. Right now, probably nobody's thinking about that too much.
Let me talk about trial lawyers and what you see likely to happen there. The governor was accused of himself being a big trial lawyer. I think what people don't realize is, while there are some ridiculous aspects to personal injury attorneys, especially if you watch TV late in the afternoon, attorneys do get settlements for people or do represent people in a system that they need representation in. I'm trying to say this clumsily, but some people are legitimately injured, legitimately need redress, and that's what attorneys do. They do some good work as well. How is all of that likely to play out?
Well, again, it's one of those demonization things. You know, we hear all the talk about litigation costs, about insurance costs and all that things. But let's face it, the person who's most likely to be the leader, the Speaker of the House, is actually going to be a Republican trial attorney. The governor is a Democrat trial attorney. You know, the House is lousy and the Senate are lousy with these attorneys, right? And many of them have worked and they represent. You know, attorneys do a lot of things. With the people that we're kind of focused on are those people that we see on the billboards, and that makes up a fairly small percentage of the total work that attorneys do. I don't really see, I think there is some area where they could make compromise, but not as much as you might think. And I don't think it's going to save the state as much money as we think.
Yeah, I think it's more of a political football than I guess, reality. That's accurate?
That's exactly right.
Real quick, before we let you go, anything you wanted to add, Pearson?
Go Tigers.
Perfectly said. I couldn't add a thing. Thank you, Pearson.
All right.
Happy New Year to you. Pearson Cross, Associate Dean of the College of Liberal Arts and Associate Professor of Political Science at ULL. Go Tigers! Phone lines are open at 260-1870. When we come back, not a lot of time to take phone calls, but we do today.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.